Good morning. With the situation we're all in, some people think life is the pits. Well, I don't think it is, but the scriptures talk about how God took us out of the pit, and that'll be one of the things we'll look at. The other thing we'll look at is the importance of being patient and waiting on the Lord. That is the thing about what's going on now for many of us. There's a lot of waiting around to see what happens. At least not as much activity as we would normally have if we could get out and be about. So, these are things we've read before, and we'll read them again, but we're going to look at them today in light of, our current situation. Okay, Psalm 37, and verse 7. Here we go. Psalm 37, 7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. So it says we can rest in the Lord. Sometimes we hear good news or good statistics about, you know, life expectancy increasing or the economy getting better or the weather turning nice. And we rest in that. We rest in that good news. Well, as we know, there's not a lot of that going around these days. But that's okay, because that's not what we need to rest in, is good news that comes to us electronically or some other way. What we rest in is the Lord. So rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. And that rest in the Lord can also be translated to be still or to be silent before the Lord. Just silent, you know. Like my dog, he'll just come in the living room and just stare at me. Usually wants to eat. But he knows he can't talk to me and he can't demand anything. So he'll just stare at me. And obviously, I'm not God, and he's not a believer, but it's an interesting analogy. We go to the Lord, we give him our concerns, we pray, and then we just sit still and wait, see what he's going to do. Same thing you do in a restaurant if the restaurants were open. You'd order your food, and you'd sit there and wait till the waiter brought it 10 or 20 minutes later. You can't do anything. Running in the kitchen and yelling at the chef doesn't speed it up. It just makes everybody mad at you. So you just sort of order it and wait. And that's sort of the way it is with the Lord. We read the Word. We pray. We try to listen to God. We ask him for what we need. Then we just sit back and wait till he takes care of it. Sometimes it's immediate. Sometimes it takes a while. We've many times read that record of Jeremiah with the Babylonians, where all the people that weren't taken captive to Babylon really want to go to Egypt. And they come to Jeremiah and say, ask the Lord if we should go to Egypt. And it took the Lord 10 days to tell them. Moses, you know, spent 40 years being raised in the palace of Pharaoh, brought up as part of Pharaoh's family. Then he saw an Egyptian harassing one of the Hebrew slaves, and he went and killed him. And then he had to flee to Midian, and he stayed there for 40 years. I mean, we are probably the absolute most we're going to have in this virus, I think, is 40 weeks. It'll probably be more like 10, 20, 30 weeks. But he was 40 years waiting, raising sheep. And what a switch that would have been. He was raised in the palace of Pharaoh and was out in the semi-wilderness raising sheep. Imagine that. Imagine you grew up in Buckingham Palace or in a penthouse apartment in some big city and had servants and chauffeurs and everything. And then the next thing you know, you're on some little cattle ranch in Wyoming, you know, herding some cows around with a horse or a pickup truck. That would be a switch. That would take some getting used to, and you'd have to stay there 40 years till you could head back to where you were before. Well, he did that. A lot of things like that. Paul obviously went to Jerusalem against the will of the Lord, and it didn't end his ministry, but it sure changed it. He spent, what, 2 years and 3 months or something like that in arrested in prison in Caesarea, then took a very treacherous boat ride to Rome where the boat sank, but because Paul prayed and listened to God, nobody died. Then he got to Rome and was under house arrest for a long time. So things change. Things change in life. Things change in the world. But God always comes through. God continued to bless Paul. He, at the very least, wrote Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians from his situation of being in custody in Rome. He had a wonderful fellowship of believers there in Caesar's palace. So great things happened. But he had to patiently wait. Remember that time they were trying to go around to Phrygia and Bithynia, going around what is now the country of Turkey, sometimes called Asia Minor, trying to find a place to speak the word. And everywhere they went, God said, don't go there. Finally, Paul had the dream with the vision of the man in Macedonia. So they got on a ship and went left what's now Turkey and went to what now would be northern Greece. And there they went and found people interested in God's word. So all of life involves patience and waiting on the Lord. We're just in a situation now where to some people, their patience is being tried and pushed beyond what they're used to. But in essence, it's no different. Whether everything were open and we could go around about our daily lives as we would have, say, 2-3 months ago or not, we still would be correct in waiting on the Lord, waiting silently, like it says, rest in the Lord, be still in the Lord, or be silent before the Lord. We pray, we ask, and then the Lord comes through. Let's go to Psalm 40. Flip over a page. Psalm 40. Yeah, it was funny how it took me a minute to clear out my throat when I started talking. Because I just don't talk to anybody here. Well, I sometimes yell at a neighbor when I walk the dog, or I say hi to the dog, but I don't have anything like an extended conversation, so I guess my throat just got a little crudded up. But after clearing it a few times, I'm fine. Next time I get on the phone with you all, I'll try to clear my throat beforehand. Because during normal times, nobody would ever accuse me of not talking very much. It's something I usually do a lot, so my throat's always cleared. Okay, Psalm 40. Here we go. I waited patiently for the Lord. And there's that word again that means to wait with expectation. I was waiting, but I was expecting something. Like the dog, he comes in, he looks at me, and he expects some food or a dog bone. And you know, he usually gets it. I'd say about all the time. So it says, I waited patiently. And that's a great figure of speech. In Hebrew, it says, waiting, I waited. Meaning I waited intently. It's a way of emphasizing that he really waited. He intently waited. He waited with expectation for the Lord. And what did the Lord do? He heard, he inclined unto me. He leaned over so he could listen better. And he heard my cry. Ever been in maybe a loud place or a crowded room and you try to talk to somebody and they don't even acknowledge it? Sometimes they can't hear you because of the crowd. Sometimes they have their mind on another topic. Sometimes they just don't care about you. But the Lord didn't do any of those. He inclined unto me. He leaned over so he could hear better and he heard my cry. So he asked the Lord for help, and then he waited patiently with expectation, And the Lord leaned over to listen and heard my cry. Verse 2, he brought me up also out of an horrible pit. So when you think life's the pits, and a lot of people think it is these days, well, just remember, God can bring you up out of that pit. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my foot upon a rock, and established my goings. So if you want a song to hum to yourself this week and in the coming weeks, he took me out of the pit and from the miry clay. He put my feet on a rock, establishing my way. I forget the rest of it. He put a song in my mouth, my God to magnify, and he'll take me one day to his home on high. Yeah, it's great stuff. Great stuff. I'm going to try to hum out of the pit all week. I don't think we're really in a pit, because I think God's taking good care of us. But there are moments one thinks life is the pits. And when that happens, it's a great song to hum. So verse 2 again. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my foot upon a rock, and established my goings. Verse 3. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak them, they are more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire, mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offerings and sin offerings thou hast not required. Then I said, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O God, yea, thy law is within my heart. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. Withhold not thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thine loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. For innumerable evils have compassed me about. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me, so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of my head. Therefore my heart faileth me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let them be ashamed and confounded together that seek after my soul to destroy it. Let them be driven backward and put to shame that wish me evil. Let them be desolate for a reward of their shame that say unto me, aha, aha! Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. Great stuff. Let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, chapter 7. Okay, Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 8. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof, and the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. It means it's better to patiently wait for the Lord than it is to strut around and tell everybody how important you are. Very important. Better, much better to be patient in spirit than to be proud in spirit. Verse 9. Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools. Say not thou, what is the cause that the former days were better than these? For thou dost not require wisely concerning this. So it's better to be patient in spirit. Or disposition. Luke 8. See, even in the New Testament times they had to be patient, not just in the Old Testament times. Luke 8:15. This is part of the parable of the sower. Verse 15, but that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience or steadfast perseverance or by persevering. So they bring forth fruit with patience. Any of you that have ever had any kind of garden at all know that you plant a seed and you have to water it, sometimes fertilize it, sometimes weed it, sometimes move it around so it gets the proper amount of heat and sun. And eventually, something will grow up, whether it's a flower or a vegetable or a fruit or an herb, whatever it is you're growing, you bring forth fruit with patience. Well, we're in a period of life now where we're just going to have to be patient. And let's just use the time to reflect on the things of God. If you have projects you didn't have time or energy for, perhaps now is the time to do them. If there are things in the Word you've always wanted to read or study, perhaps now is the time to do it. Or perhaps there are other things you want to focus on. But whatever it is you choose to do with this time and this very unique period of our lives, do it while patiently praying and looking to see what God will do for you. Because that's the part that's magnificent. So many of the other things in the world we're used to relying on aren't available right now. But God is. He's not out of business. He doesn't have to quarantine with a face mask like many people do. He's doing great. And he's there to take care of us. Bring forth fruit with patience. Romans 5. Romans 5, verse 2. Let's go back to verse 1. Therefore, being justified or made righteous by faith, by believing, we have peace with God, not through our works, but through our Lord Jesus Christ. By whom also, verse 2, by Christ, Jesus Christ, our Savior, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Aren't you glad we don't stand before God in wrath or terror or something like that? No, we stand in the grace, the divine favor of God. That's where we stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God, looking forward to the great glory of God that will be revealed when the Lord reveals. Verse 3, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations, often translated mental pressure, also knowing that tribulation worketh or produces patience. So when you have a tough time, which we all do, and you work through it and come out on the other side, it produces patience because you've learned that you can hang tough during times of turmoil and trouble and mental pressure, and God will bring you through. So you have more patience. And patience produces experience or more perseverance. And experience produces hope. Hope is a positive outlook, looking forward to great things happening. And we should have great hope. We don't know exactly how long this virus will last. We don't know how big an effect it'll have on the population or the economy or a zillion other things. But we do have great hope, great positive expectation that God will bring us through it. And even putting the scriptures aside, we have a very strong country. We've been through wars. We've been through, you know, much huger epidemics of smallpox and scarlet fever and measles and mumps that killed many, many more people than this. We've been through depressions where people were on breadlines and we didn't have any of the unemployment insurance and government checks and things that are helping people today. So we've been through much worse times in our country. And our country is very strong. The people are talented and determined, and God always brings us through. And I know all that without even thinking about the blessings of God. But then you had the blessings of God on top of that. And we have a win-win, no-lose situation. God is so great for us. So at any rate, We glory in tribulations. Tribulation produces patience. Patience produces experience. Experience produces hope. Verse 5, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So all the patience we've had to learn through other tribulations in life will serve us well during this challenging time. And because we all have new challenges, because this, like I say, this virus is bringing new challenges to everybody, some in different ways, some very, very difficult, some just mildly annoying, but we will grow in patience, experience, and we'll have greater hope about life in general as we see what God teaches us and what we learn and how we can move ahead. God will bless us mightily. Let's go to Romans 12. several more scriptures to look at here. Romans 12. In verse 10. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. In honor preferring one another, not slothful or lazy in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation. So when we have this mental pressure, we should be patient. And that patient can be translated continuing steadfast when we have mental pressure, faithful in mental pressure. And then where it says continuing instant in prayer, that could be translated persevering in prayer. So this is a great verse. If you had to have one verse, had the one song you could sing. Now, if you had to have one verse, this might be a good one for you. We rejoice in hope. We simply rejoice that we have so much to look forward to. Of course, our great hope is the return of the Lord. But on a smaller scale, we have a positive expectation about everything in our lives, that God will bring us great victory, great deliverance, supply our needs, protect our health. So we rejoice in hope. We're patient. We're steadfast in tribulation. And we persevere in prayer. So hope, patience, and prayer. Three great things to get us through this and all of life's situations. And like we said earlier, and like everybody knows, so many parts of daily life in our country and around the world are very different this month than they were 2 months ago. But this is not different. It's still good to rejoice in the hope of God's blessings. It's still great to be patient and persevere when we have mental pressure. And it's still great to be faithful in prayer. What a great thing. Okay, let's go on to the next one. Romans 15. Romans 15, verse 1. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities or the shortcomings, the weaknesses of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good edification, building up. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime, talking about all the Old Testament scriptures and everything before the church epistles, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. You see, we read about Moses being patient. We read about Abraham being patient. We read about Joseph being in prison and a slave and being patient, and how God brought them great victory. And it gives us great comfort, and it helps us develop great patience. So let's read that again. Verse 4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Now look at this verse 5. Now the God of patience and consolation. To say he's the God of patience and consolation, that is putting those two qualities as some of his greatest qualities. He God has many fine qualities, but when he calls himself the God of patience and the God of consolation, that's huge. And so God can help us with patience. He can console us and comfort us and help us when things are tough, because he's the God of patience and consolation. Now, the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, let's go to 2 Corinthians 6. Second Corinthians 6, verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle, speaking about the human body, were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. Just looking forward to the new bodies we get when the Lord returns. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon. Not that we want to give up this body, but we want to be clothed with the new body, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Verse 6, therefore we're always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. There's a day when we'll give up these bodies, and then the Lord will return and we'll be with the Lord, with the new bodies. Verse 9, wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. Ah! I'm in the wrong chapter. This is a great chapter, but I want to be in chapter 6. 2 Corinthians 6. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, in the day of salvation I have succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Verse 3, giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. But in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God in much what? Patience. In afflictions, in necessities, in distresses. And then it goes on and on about all the things they had to endure, but much patience. That was one of the requirements to get them through the very tough situations they were in. 2 Corinthians 12. Patience is just required. I know people like to be men and women of action and get out and do stuff, and there's a time and a place for that. But then there's also a time and a place to pray, ask God for what you need, and sit back and wait for him to take care of it for you. Doesn't mean you do nothing, but on that topic you prayed about, there's often nothing more you can do. There's that old statement that's not in the scriptures, but certainly fits with the scriptures, that you do your best, and God will do the rest. So in any situation, you do what you can do, and then you pray, ask God to help you, and then just sit back and see what he does. So, 2 Corinthians 12, verse 11. I am become a fool in glorying. You've compelled me, for I ought to have been commended of you. For in nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostles, though I be nothing. Truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience, and signs and wonders and mighty deeds. For what is it wherein you are inferior to other churches, except it be that I myself was not burdensome to you? I am having a challenge with my notes today. This is supposed to say something about in all patience. Oh, well, there's a scripture that says, in all patience. Oh, there we are. It's verse 12. Truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience. So he had to be very patient working with them, and they're still giving him trouble. People are going to do that. You do your best for them. It's wonderful when they're behind you and back you up, support you and pray for you and love you. But a lot of times they're not. And at that point, you just go to God and realize he'll always be there for you. Colossians 1, verse 9. For this cause also, since the day we heard it, we don't cease to pray for you and desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all his might, with all might, according to his glorious power. Now look at this, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness. You know, longsuffering is sort of like an extreme version of patience. I often call it patience on steroids. Perhaps we're used to short-term tactical things and long-term strategic things. Perhaps patience is the short-term word and long-suffering is the long-term word. But either way you look at it, it's extreme patience. But it says here, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Because a lot of times we think we have to get through the tough time, then we'll be happy. Well, there is a certain amount to that. Because if you're going through a tough time where it's hard to be in a good mood because things are so tough, looking forward to when it's over is great. But you can go a step further. You can have patience and long-suffering with joyfulness at the time. You can so discipline your mind and so trust God and so pray and so focus on the scriptures and so walk in love that even when you're going through the time that demands great patience and long-suffering, you can still have joyfulness. Let's read that verse 11 again. Strengthened. Now, first of all, it says in verse 9, they're praying for him, for them. And one of the things they're praying is that they'll be strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. They'll just be so strong spiritually that they can have patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Wonderful thing to do. That's something to strive for during these challenging times. Be patient, be really patient, and do it with joy. That's a great goal. There may be days you can do that, days it comes naturally. There may be days where it's a great mental challenge for you to do it. But have that be your goal for this period in our lives. It's a very unique time. We may or may not live through another time like this, but we're living through this one. And let's set our goal. I know we have goals for this, for figuring out your finances and figuring out your supply of toilet paper and figuring out your social distancing and face masks and all the things everybody's dealing with. And that's fine. Do all those things and do them the very best you can. But while you're doing it, be looking to the Lord and praying with a vision and a goal of being patient and long-suffering with joyfulness. What a great thing. Okay, one more here. 1 Thessalonians 1:3. Well, let's go back to verse 2. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith. And the way that works out in the Greek, it means work proceeding from faith. Because they had such great believing in the true God, they could do the work. And labor proceeding from your love. The reason they were laboring so hard is they had so much love for God and his people. And patience of hope. Your patience proceeds for your hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God, even our Father. So patience proceeds from hope. If you have that positive outlook, ultimately of the return of the Lord, but the positive outlook that God will take care of us and we will get through this current time of distress, healthy, prosperous, and very blessed and thankful. So our patience of hope, patience which proceeds from hope. Start with the positive attitude that God will take care of us, that we will come out on the other side of this blessed, prosperous, and thankful. And it doesn't matter what you might have lost during this time. God can give you much more than that. It doesn't matter what difficulty you may go through. God can help you through the difficulty, and you can come out stronger. We don't ask for difficulties. We don't look for problems, but they show up in life. So we can use them as periods of growing and strengthening and coming out more confident in the true Lord. That's why we used to call problems opportunities, because it was simply an opportunity to pray and grow in our trust for God. Well, we have some great opportunities right now, and I'm thankful that God's taking care of us, and I'm thankful that He's taking us out of this pit. I'm thankful that we can rejoice in hope, and I'm thankful that we have great patience proceeding from hope, and that we can be still before the Lord and wait with expectation and see the many, many ways He blesses us. So, Heavenly Father, I thank You for these marvelous, wonderful saints who love You. I thank You for the joy of knowing Your Word, the joy of being able to look to it, the joy of knowing how steadfast You are to speak to us, to bless us, and to help us in every way. And we pray that we will have a glorious, joyful time working through this time of national tragedy. We pray that You will be there to help us, to strengthen us, to show us the way, and that we can pray for each other and look to You and simply glory in Your kindness and the great hope we have of Your deliverance in every part of our lives. Thank You for this in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen.